Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean, Pendergast is on vacation. It's not like a leisurely Club Med vacation. He went to watch his daughter graduate from Harvard yesterday, and then now he's going to Indiana, poor soul, to watch her compete in the NCAA, I believe, regional qualifiers in the 3,200 meter run. So Judy Pendergast, very impressive young lady, Harvard graduate, but most impressively, she's the daughter to Sean Pendergast. Filling in for that impressive man is Wade Smith, former Houston Texans offensive lineman. Wade, I told you yesterday that it was the day of me not taking any disrespect from people. But yet, now that you know how it is when you start becoming that guy, when you start becoming like a Baker Mayfield type, you start finding disrespect everywhere you look for it. And I felt like the algorithm had figured me out yesterday. Nothing but negative articles about the Texans kept popping up on my screen.
It's crazy how that works with you with your phone, man. If you're in a certain mindset, mind frame, your phone will just do nothing but continue to, you know, exacerbate that feeling and that sentiment, because it has a way of getting you hooked in and getting you more upset or getting you more happy or getting you more happy and more sad, whatever it may be. That's why you got to be like Klay Thompson and just put the phone down, man, and go fishing.
Just quit it, yeah. But I can't do that. My job is to not set down the electronics, to pick them up, to stay aggravated. It's not really to
do
stay
the
aggravated.
Deep dive into them as it, well.
No, you know what it is. You know where social media is good in measured doses is that there are things where if you find yourself getting angry about something, like on social media or in life, it's always good to like stop and say, okay, why am I getting angry about it? Because usually it's because you're either insecure about something, or you feel helpless, or, you know, it's something that's worth getting angry over, but why am I getting angry in this moment when I can't do anything about it? Like, how should I channel this energy elsewhere and actually get something done? So that's what I did yesterday when I was reading this Bill Barnwell article. Bill Barnwell wrote so many negative things about the Texans yesterday that Wade and I actually talked about this article this morning at like 6 a.m., and we didn't even get to a third of all the negative things that Bill Barnwell had printed about the Texans. But I found that I was getting angry in this instance because I agreed with some of them, and I don't like it when an outsider tells me the same thing that I already feel. Kind of like when somebody criticizes the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I'm like, yeah, I know. It was a bad trade. Let it go. So Barnwell ranked the Texans as having the 25th best and or 8th worst offseason in the NFL. And he gave them credit for the Deshaun Watson trade. He actually gave Nick Caserio partial credit for his free agency strategy, because this strategy of signing guys to 1 and 2 year deals en masse is at the very least a strategy, where some teams don't seemingly have any kind of strategy at all with their free agency. Where he started getting critical, one was for the trade up for John Mechie, because he felt that it was trying to be a little too clever, that it was a very aggressive trade just up to get a guy in the second round that by some draft value charts would make it look like you valued him like he was a number 18 pick overall. And we talked about that, and I get the draft value criticism. I like the pick of John Mechie. But then when I wanted to get your opinion on this one, because even though he gave Nick Caserio credit for having a strategy and signing these guys to 1 and 2 year deals, he says, I have to take issue with some of Caserio's signings. Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison can still be productive players, but the former Bills defenders turned 34 and 35 respectively during the season. Are you really going to benefit in the long term from having those guys as your primary pass rushers? And I feel the issue I have with that is that I don't think that Nick Caserio is any illusion that like Jerry Hughes is going to be the primary pass rusher 3-4 years from now.
Right. It comes across as like, for one, that, you know, the Texans are trying, they brought in Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison so that can get them over the hump so they can win the division this year. Whereas if that was the thought process, you might look at it and say, well, first of all, you got all these other things that are going on your team. You're not in the contention for the division this year. So you don't need that. But I think when you look at it from the perspective of, hey, these guys are veterans. These guys understand the scheme. They're going to be able to help the younger guys understand the scheme. They do have some juice left so they can be productive themselves. You're not expecting them to come in and get 10 sacks each, but you know, maybe between the two of them, you can get 10 sacks. That's something reasonable to expect. So you're, as long as you have veteran players on the team that actually can still play, then their input and their influence on the culture and on the younger players on the team will have merit and bring value, and it will help usher in, you know, kind of the new era of what's going on with the Texans. You need veterans to do that. I thought that, you know, there was a certain point in the league where, you know, there wasn't a lot of 10, 11, 12-year guys on the roster. And when I first came in the league, when we were in the league, that was normal. You had guys that were 18 years fit. There was a bunch of older guys on the team. And they created a culture, and you figured out how things would go based off of the way the old heads did it. And then there was a time there, probably like 2015 to 2019, in that little time span where there wasn't a lot of older guys on teams. I think teams are realizing that, hey, maybe we need to get some older presence on this team, get some more veteran leadership on these ball clubs. And so I think that's what Caserio's doing, especially in the timeline of where the Texans are right now. I mean, to me, to get criticized for bringing in Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison, like, it's not like they paid them a bunch of money, you know, right? What I mean? So it's kind of they're looking for stuff to be negative about with the Texans, I think, in this regard.
Well, and this is the whole thing too, is that I think that Caserio has kind of a bold strategy in how he wants to build this team, but it's one that people are going to naturally be very skeptical of, because we hear coaches talk all the time about culture. The last coach, well, two coaches ago, talked a lot about culture, and I think a lot of coaches, as much as they talk about it, don't actually know how to create a culture, and don't necessarily understand what really goes into it. And I've been skeptical of anybody that tries to, you know, try to recreate the Patriots way or anything like that. I'll give Caserio credit in that I do think that in his 20 years in New England, he was able to sit back and, because he's an analytical guy, I think take a look at it, maybe the essential elements to a lot of the things that went on in New England. And yes, obviously Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are the driving force behind everything. But I just know from personal experience, and I told you about this a couple days ago, or I told Sean maybe, you know, after Deflategate, I had a friend, Kyle Brady, who was on the team at the time. He was a tight end at the end of his career. And you know, he was a classic, one of those guys, like, good player at the end of his career, went and played in New England for a year. And he was on that year where they were 15-1 or what have you. And I asked him, like, how did you guys handle the distraction of Deflategate? And he said, Seth, that the leadership on that team was so incredibly strong that none of that stuff was ever even close to being an issue. And what he talked about was how in each meeting room, you had a strong leader. Like, it's not, you can't bring a guy like Ed Reed onto the team and expect that somehow Ed Reed's going to have an effect on the whole team,
right,
or like a soothing effect on the defensive lineman or something. Like, leadership on an NFL team has to be at multiple levels. It's 100%. Great if your quarterback's a leader,
yeah,
but he's not in meeting rooms with the defensive line or the linebackers. So I think that you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. When you talk about veteran leadership in that defensive line meeting room, there was nobody there. I mean, like, yeah, I love Roy Lopez, but he's a young guy. Malik Collins is not a veteran leader. He hasn't even proven that he's worth like a long-term contract as a veteran player.
Right.
So he's not a guy that's been there and done that. He's still trying to prove himself. I think that Barnwell's bringing it up like it's a negative that they signed these two guys that know how to survive a decade in the league. I think it's the exact opposite. I think it's one of the smartest things that Caserio did this offseason,
especially at the price that he got him. It wasn't like they came in and brought them in and they gave them 4 or 5 year deals and $10 million per year. And it wasn't, people get upset about the Whitney Merciless contract. Like, he was a veteran presence on that team when he got his deal, but he got paid like he was a player that was in his prime. Whereas these guys are getting paid like the veterans they are, that are on the downside of their careers, but they still have something to bring to the table. And they still can be productive players, but they also are going to bring that element in the locker room that that experience and having the right type of person. It's important. It's important for guys coming in the locker room to know what it's like and learn what it's like to be a pro from guys that are pros that have done it at a high level for a long period of time.
This is the other thing that Barnwell said, and this bothered me because I think both the previous comment about the veteran defensive lineman and this comment that I'm about to read, I think they kind of show that, like, Barnwell doesn't quite understand the dynamics of the situation here. Every time I read somebody basically make it seem like that Davis Mills isn't going to get a chance to be the starter, they don't have the guy for this year at least, It's kind of telling in the opinion that they give after it, because this is what he said. I'm surprised Caserio and company didn't add more behind Davis Mills. The backups in Houston are Kyle Allen, Jeff Driscoll, and Kevin Hogan. If Mills doesn't live up to that December run, the team will be stuck with replacement-level alternatives. Well, that is true, and like, I'm not impressed with any of those guys as backups. I do also think that, look, it's Davis Mills, and if it's not Davis Mills, then yeah, we're not tanking, but we're hoping for pretty good position to get a guy next year.
No,
so
you make an excellent point. That's an excellent point, because that's when people are bringing up, like, let's bring in Baker Mayfield, or bring in, like you mentioned earlier today, talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's some quarterbacks out there that would come in here and take the job most likely, right? They would be the starting quarterback day one. But you don't want to be in limbo by the end of the season. You want to either be, hey, we're all in on Davis Mills, or hey, he screwed the pooch, and now we're moving forward with one of these young guys that are coming in the draft, and now we have that new hope, that new franchise quarterback that's going to be on the docket, which with the draft capital that the Texans will have, they'll be able to guarantee that they'll get one of those guys. To me, you don't want – the worst thing that could happen for the Texans is Davis Mills to be inconsistent and show flashes of being really damn good, but then also show flashes of being really bad or just meh. And then it caused you to, like, try to figure out, do we take a guy or not take a guy? Like,
you don't want him to be in that Bortles zone, because that Bortles zone is where you end up passing up an opportunity for Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Because Bortles played well in that run, and so then, but then he's Bortles.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I heard y'all talking about that the other day, about how Jadeveon Clowney, after he had an excellent game against the Texans, he was like, he's still trash. Like,
and
he was right. Like he's not good. He had a good game, but he's not good. That's Clowney what you don't want that out of Davis Mills, where he has some good games against some good teams, but you really feel like, no, this is not the guy. That's the last thing the Texans want to happen. And I think that's why they have those quarterbacks behind them that they do, because it's like, Davis Mills, you're either going to sink or swim. And if you swim, good for us. And if you sink, good for us.
Look, we're not trying to rehash old things or anything, but J.J. Watt he posed a critical question on Twitter this morning, and I think Wade and I disagree on this. There's also two quarterbacks that people keep bringing up with the Texans. We need to put a kibosh on this rumor, unless Wade wants one of these guys. We'll talk about that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
This is an opinion that just came over on the text line that annoyed me. So before we get to what I teased, I got to bring this up. We were talking earlier about how... you know, like Yordan Alvarez was traded for. He was going to be here regardless. But the fact that Yuli Gurriel is on the Astros has been an attraction for some Cuban players. So one of our listeners said Cuban players are going to go to any team. It's Major League Baseball. I'm just trying to get back because I've heard things like that in different scenarios. Like when given the choice between multiple things, you tend to not say, I'll go to any one of you. I don't care. Okay, that's cool. You're a Major League Baseball team. Just because they're coming from Cuba, where, things are kind of meager over there in a lot of respects, doesn't mean that they turn into idiots that are just going to take anything and anything that comes along. Just step off the bus and you say, oh, thank you, mister. I'd love to have an opportunity to take this job. Yeah, well, they've got options, okay? So if they're going to choose, it's not just as simple as like, oh, you're a Major League Baseball team? I'm so grateful. Thank you, sir.
I think as with anything, it's about relationships. And you would think that the Astros have cultivated a lot of good relationships with players and scouts in Cuba so that they can bring in Cuban baseball players. They have a pipeline worked out. I think that is going to lend them to have more guys than other teams. Although anybody would be excited to play in the major leagues, but they kind of have a stronghold on that, and that's something that the Astros have used better than anybody else in the league to this point.
Yeah, and it's still as much as things have opened up with Cuba, it's still way less open. That's why Luno was kind of a visionary in even signing Yuli when he did, because it's different scouting Cuban players and figuring out exactly how to project them and everything. So Luno was able to do that. And yeah, as far as making inroads, it's still more difficult in a lot of ways. You're right. The Astros just simply they've got an advantage there. This is what I had teased going into the break, was that JJ Watt popped up on my timeline this morning, and I thought he asked like what was a very simple and easily answerable question, but it turns out that you feel exactly the opposite and wrong way about this. This is what JJ Watt asked this morning on social media.
All right, I have a question for everybody out there. So I know I'm pretty much wrong on this one, but that's why I'm asking the world. Yesterday, Zach said, I'm going to bring in donuts in the morning for Buddy, our strength coach, what kind of donuts do you like? I said, wow, that's really nice. I'm a big fan of the pink frosted, I think it's strawberry, and maple glazed. He goes, cool, I'll pick them up in the morning. Shows up this morning, box full of donuts, no strawberry glaze, no maple glaze.
Oh, no.
I'm extremely grateful for the free donuts, but do I have any ground to stand on to be upset?
No.
I think he's got grounds. I don't know. I think it was that Zach Allen, the defensive tackle?
No, that was Zach Ertz, the tight end.
Oh, Zach Ertz.
Yeah,
oh,
Zach
okay.
Ertz, the tight end. Yeah.
I listened to it. I didn't watch the video.
Yeah.
So Zach Ertz, who's a veteran and 100%. Should know better.
But this is
the
thing.
He's been around forever. He can afford a couple different flavors of donut. Why would he ask him, Wade, if he didn't want to?
JJ cannot be upset or mad at this because the donuts are for Buddy. The whole point of it was I'm going to get donuts for Buddy. We don't know the context in how he asked JJ about his favorite donuts. He could have just been asking him like, hey, what are your favorite donuts? Just for knowledge. Maybe he's going to use that later on in life. Maybe he's going to surprise him for his birthday with strawberry donuts and maple glazed donuts, which is kind of weird anyway. Everybody knows the best donut is just straight plain glazed donuts. But that's a whole nother discussion. But the donuts were not for JJ. The donuts were for Buddy.
Yeah, but why did Zach?
If Buddy said, I like glazed donuts only, he went to go get the donuts for Buddy.
Yeah, but you know damn well, it's not. Look, he's going to get donuts. He's not going to get all one type of donuts. And he's asking, like, oh.
That's
hey,
not necessarily true. Maybe you defensive linemen did it differently, but sometimes we might have three boxes of donuts and two of them are straight glazed and the other ones are all that other crap that you put on their sprinkles and all that.
So at least another one of the boxes has got some variety, but especially if Zach is going to get the donuts and
poor
I'm
buddy.
Guessing for Buddy, but yes. He's asking JJ because it looks like he works out with JJ at the same time. Usually the old
they
guys
do.
Are
they
in
work
there
out
early.
Together all the time.
Yeah, and because what time is it in Arizona right now? I don't even know when that video came out.
I think it's
out.
An hour behind us, so
okay.
It's like
so 8, they're weird. I think they're one of the ones that they do or do not follow daylight savings. So, they're there early. Zach Ertz asks, "I'm going to get donuts for Buddy tomorrow, but he's also going to be JJ's going to be working out there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get donuts for Buddy tomorrow. What do you like?" And JJ's got every right to think like, oh yeah, he's got, that's cool. I'm excited. Maybe I'll skip breakfast because we'll have donuts. Then he gets there and his donuts are these paltry, pathetic, whatever the hell Buddy likes, his low rent ass. he's eating peasant donuts instead of his strawberry glazed, whatever they are.
So
there.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me I'm low rent because that's all I want is glazed donuts. Okay. That's fine.
Yes,
I'll be low rent.
That's exactly
I'll
what
be
I'm
basic
telling
as hell. Well, that's cool. But I'm just saying like the donuts were for Buddy. JJ can be disappointed. He cannot be upset. That's
no.
There's a difference. You can get your hopes up for something and it not happen, and that's
okay.
One thing. But as you can't have the expectation that this thing is going to happen because it was never for you. You were a supplemental, additional possibility of getting what you want out of the situation. The whole
what about,
thing was for
what about,
Buddy. It was for Buddy.
What if Zach had brought no donuts in at all? And
then he would have a problem because that means he's a liar. That means he said, I'm going to do something for Buddy, and then he didn't do something for Buddy.
But it would be okay because, wait a second, because it was implied that JJ would be able to partake of these donuts. So JJ would have a right to be upset.
No,
because,
I think Buddy would have a right to be upset.
But would JJ have a right
JJ
to be upset?
JJ would have the right to, like, razz and talk negatively about Zach Ertz because he didn't keep his word. Like, damn, you sold Buddy out like that? You told him he was going to get him donuts and you didn't get him donuts?
I don't think he told Buddy.
Was
I think
it a surprise for Buddy? You think it was a surprise for Buddy?
Yeah, it was a surprise. Which, again, that's like for Zach Ertz, like, that's not much of a surprise. Is bringing in donuts is kind of like you're expected to bring breakfast here and there. I'm standing with JJ.
How do we know that Zach didn't go get the donuts that JJ wanted and they didn't have them? How do we know
that's
this?
A really good point. Well, yeah,
and Zach could be like, dude, I was doing you a solid and they didn't have it. And now you're upset with me? Like,
that's a legitimate point because it's not like those things are two common ones. Right. Like, Maple Glaze isn't always there in strawberry, whatever.
I don't even know what he's talking about with the strawberry. Like, if you're basic like me and low rent like me, you'll for sure get what you want. And the glazed donuts, they always have glazed donuts. That's like going to Pizza Hut and them not having pepperoni pizza. If you go to a donut spot, they're going to have glazed donuts. You know what you're going to get. It's all about consistency.
Okay. Somebody says, no wonder JJ gets hurt so much. It's because he's not eating correctly.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so the other thing that was bothering me is this. Bill Barnwell brought this up. I saw somebody else bring this up about Baker Mayfield yesterday. People will write, hey, because the Texans have no solution at quarterback, it's obvious they should bring in either Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo.
No.
It's driving me insane, Wade, that like people can't understand this very simple thing. People outside of Houston is they're going to give Davis Mills a look-see. They've seen enough that they're intrigued by him. Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, can you please stop acting like the Texans are just sitting out here with absolutely zero plan at quarterback. They're going to find out what they have in Davis Mills. It's as simple as that. You just shut your asses up with this Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo talk.
I don't understand the thought process of bringing in quarterbacks that are coming off of injuries that are just good enough to get you beat. I don't get it. Like either you're going to stick with the plan and bring in a guy or let Davis Mills do what he can do, see what you can get out of him, and if he progresses to be what you want, then you got to steal there. Or if he does not pan out, then you're going to bring in one of those guys that is a generational type of talent. That's how they're talking about this quarterback class. That gives you hope. That gives you belief. That gives you something that you can buy into, talking about the fan base and the organization. So why muddy the water by trying to bring in a guy that's shown you, like Jimmy Garoppolo, that you put him on the big stage, he's not going to perform. Like he's a good quarterback, but he's not a clutch quarterback. I don't want that guy. I want somebody that I feel like can win me a championship. He has not shown that he has that ability. He had everything around him perfectly put together, and he couldn't make the simple throws. I don't want that guy anywhere near the Houston Texans franchise. Like, let him go somewhere else and do what he does somewhere else, and maybe he'll luck up on a championship somewhere else. But I don't want him to come here. I'd much rather have Davis Mills, give him a shot, and if it doesn't work out, then you bring in a guy like C.J. Stroud, or you bring in a guy like Bryce Young. Like, these are guys that people can really, really get excited about, and they have a ceiling that puts them up there with the other quarterbacks that are the upper echelon of the league.
Are you buying this excuse if this summer a professional athlete bails on your kid's sports camp? It's coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Landry and Lopez will be in a little bit. They've got an interview with Tony Busby that's airing today, so we'll chat with them a little bit about that. And this is a few days old now, almost a week old by now. But Sean and I have had it, and we just keep pushing it off and not getting to it. But I feel like this is a little bit more relevant to exactly where you are in life right now, Wade, because your girls are teenagers and or 10 years old, but they're in that sports camp age.
Yes.
So a week ago, A.J. Brown, who was very famously traded out of Tennessee and into Philadelphia, pulled out of a sports camp in Nashville. And the reasoning he gave was this. He put this on, I think this was on Instagram. I'm sorry I let your kids down and many others, but I will not put myself in a place where my peace is going to be threatened by adults who feel a way because I was traded. I'm every bad word it is for taking care of my family. If you're not aware, just look on social media. I'm a man first, and I will always do what I feel is right for me and my family. People are upset, and that's fine, but it's not that serious when it comes to me. People can disrespect me on social media, and that's fine, but being disrespectful to my face is a whole nother thing, and I'm not tolerating it on any level, so forgive me for not putting myself in a place where my peace could be threatened because if something happens and I react, I'm the one who has everything to lose, and I'm not willing to lose my peace, my family, or my job. Okay, so I just want to. This is where I'm not accepting this in the least. AJ Brown has been at this for a while. Like, he knows the deal, and he knows damn well that what people say on social media hardly ever gets said to your face. Did he really think he was going to show up at this camp and have people like in his face calling him trash or giving him death threats or something like that? I am not buying this excuse one iota.
So one thing, like, I don't know if the kids had to pay for this camp or if it was a free camp or did they refund the money or whatever. If I was a parent of one of those kids and I paid money for the camp and he canceled it and I couldn't get my money back, whatever, I'd be highly upset. I don't think that's the case. A lot of times in the summer, there's a lot of free camps that get put on. And yeah. So I would expect this one of those deals. This is where you have the issue when you take social media, which is a facade life, and you translate it into real life. You're absolutely right. It is very, very rare that something that someone would say on social media they'll actually say into your face and say in public, especially with kids around, especially with their kids around, because the only adults that go to camps are people that are putting on the camps or the parents of the kids that are participating in the camp. And if you're dumb enough to talk negatively about the person putting on the camp to the person while your kid's at the camp, you're just basically asking your kid to be kicked out of the camp. So the chances of that happening, I think, are very, 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 very slim. Very much so a minute possibility. So I'm not really buying it. I think it's more of a, hey, y'all want me to come back to Nashville and put on this camp, yet you guys are dogging me every day on social media, a place that I'm on all the time and I'm taking in. To hell with y'all. I'm not going to come back there and do that. And I'm going to put it on this whole, hey, you know, I don't want to risk my career. I don't want to risk all that stuff. But that you're more likely to go in the grocery store in Philly and get cussed out by a fan in Philly than somebody in Nashville at your camp that you're putting on for their kids saying something negatively about you to where you'll want to risk your career or whatever like that. I think it was a I don't know. It's just it was an exaggeration of. I think it's just hey, he's upset with Nashville and Titans fans in general because he's taken so much negative backlash from him wanting to get traded. Which honestly, I don't understand that part of it. I get that fans get upset with guys when they want to leave, but it's like these are human beings. These are people that you know they have like. You can't make someone want you, like to want to be with you and want to stay with you. So I don't understand the sentiment of like getting upset with guys when they want out. Like he wanted to get paid. They didn't want to pay him. So they traded him. Like that was the decision that the organization made. Like him wanting to get paid is normal. Everybody in his draft class and everybody that is, you know, his caliber receiver wanted to get traded or wanted to get paid. Like they didn't get paid. So they got traded. I don't understand why the vitriol goes towards the player and not the organization for not paying him. If you're upset with him enough that he left, that means you really liked him and you really wanted him there as a player. Because you don't care when your girlfriend leaves you if you didn't like her. You're relieved. You're like, damn, okay.
Yeah, but
I
think what you have to always remember is that like ultimately, because this is why it used to be more that. And it's still this way, I think, that ultimately in disputes between teams and players, the teams are going to win out because the fans are fans of that team. So, like, you don't have to overthink it, Wade. Like, ultimately over time, it's that people are fans of the team. So when somebody leaves, they're going to be upset. And it doesn't necessarily always have to, just like any human emotion, it doesn't have to be consistent.
I get them being upset. What I don't get is you, like, consistently and constantly dogging people on social media and talking.
Oh yeah, well, I mean that's just wrong in general, though.
Right, but yeah, it's just weird. Like, okay, he don't want to be here anymore. Like, I'm not mad at Deshaun because he don't want to be here. He wanted to leave, so leave.
Like, but this is where like AJ Brown and I've seen other guys. This is where everything and you, it was one of the first things you said just now was that there's this tendency. And it's a natural human tendency to take the very vocal minority and most negative group, like in any situation, and amplify it in your brain.
Yeah.
To where, like, they'll think the entire fan base is out to get them just because of, like, realistically, when you look at it a lot of times, it ends up being, like, 7 or 8 total people on social media,
right.
But it's affected
right.
and colored your right. whole view of that fan base. So that's where, like, I'm just surprised. Honestly, I'm surprised that AJ Brown kind of like wasn't prepared for that, or that also that he just tried to use that as an excuse for, I'm guessing, just wanted to get the hell out of town. Like that part of it, you're letting the tail wag the dog a little bit. You're letting a very small portion of the problem affect the way you're communicating with everybody else.
Yeah, it just when you think about it, he should have gone to the camp, and him, because people are being mean to him on social media, shouldn't have kept him from doing the camp. At the same time, I don't understand why. I mean, I get it, but I do not get it, like how people are really, really upset with players when they want to leave. It's just like and actually he didn't want to leave. He wanted to get paid. Like, hey, it is a market. You feel like that you can get paid, then get paid. And if you cannot get paid, then they have the decision to make. They could have just said, no, AJ Brown, we're not going to move you. And oh, AJ Brown, you're not going to pay you, and you can come to practice or come to the games, or you can get fined. They could have took a hard stance, but they chose not to. That was a business decision that the organization made. They got draft compensation because of it, and he went and got paid elsewhere. To me, you know, it's just maybe it's because and I can't even make the excuse of I'm not a true fan anymore because I played, because I'm a true fan of certain organizations in different sports where I'm like, you know, live and die by the organizations, but I'm never mad at guys that want to leave or that leave. And there's a sentiment of people that are, and it's something that guys have to deal with.
We've got Lopez in studio now. Landry will be in a second.
Hello, fellas.
I want to play this little bit of audio, John, because I know you guys are going to play your interview with Tony Busby. And one of the stories from the other day and from that HBO special was at the very end of the special, they brought in Leah Graham, who's one of the attorneys for Deshaun Watson. And they, at that point, really full bore made this about, Deshaun Watson versus Tony Busby more than anything else. This is what Leah Graham had to say.
And when we start looking into how did we get to 22, I think that's a very valid question. And I would argue that the inquiry should be focused on Mr. Busby's conduct, not Deshaun's. Because when you start looking into how we got to 22 cases, he went on social media immediately to create vague statements, vague allegations about behavior that needed to be stopped, and then solicited clients to say, call me. And they did.
All right, Seth, that you are a good one, you young man. We asked him specifically about that, and he had a lot to say about it.
Did he?
He had
Tony Busby had a lot to say.
not Tony.
He had a lot. He went in, as the kids say.
Oh, he went in.
On Leah Graham and Rusty regarding that, and kind of in his view, you know, his side, obviously, we have to put it that way, poked a lot of holes in that. He actually really encouraging people to listen to this. He actually gave us a few new things that we hadn't heard. About that, about the infamous towel, and his frustration with not acquiring that, and about the civil trial and where it stands.
Oh, they wanted access to the towel.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. Mm. Or towels. Who knows?
Multiple towels. Okay.
So what's the is there any kind of sense for timeline or anything that was confirmed, or did he shut any of that down? I mean, don't give away too much.
No, that's fine. It's cut up in three parts. We sat down with him for about 35 minutes, and he went into a lot of detail. He talked about that. As far as the timeline, I thought it was a very interesting thing. He said he hadn't really addressed going to trial after the last time, I guess last July or whenever it was, and then said he wanted to go to trial and approached Rusty Harden about doing it in July before the season and starting it then. And for a number of reasons, Rusty, you know, declined. But, yeah, he did definitely go into that. So it's appearing, just to give you kind of the sneak peek, it's appearing this ain't happening until after the season.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine. Like, yeah. If they started the trial in July, could you even anticipate it being done by training camp?
No,
no
way.
There's so many
plaintiffs that you can't get to 20.
And I'm sure that's why Rusty said no, thank you. But he said he was ready to go. He said he's got his stuff ready to go.
This will be interesting to see how it plays out and how long it takes for it to play off. Do you think that the ruling by the NFL is going to affect the civil proceeding at all? In other words, like if the NFL comes back with a suspension of 6 games. Do you think that Busby is going to use that either, you know, against the NFL and use it toward, like, against Deshaun in the civil proceedings going forward? Or how do you think that the NFL's ruling is going to affect
tell you after speaking with him that would be a no-go. One more thing that I thought was really, really big, and I'm sorry I buried it. He discussed the criminal, case, and the grand jury. And he was more than hinting about some news we're going to get here in the next few days that addresses why those charges were not brought.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It was really. I thought that was big time.
Yeah, no, I'll have to. Okay, that's cool. So I'm keenly interested in this now. Yeah. What else are you guys going to be talking about today?
Well, obviously, that's in three parts. We'll hit that. And, of course, there's all kinds of things that we know the Texans are doing. And in fact, Landry has what he says is the most gutless display ever that puts a lot of perspective on certain people in this organization, the Texans organization.
The most gutless thing ever?
The most gutless thing ever. His words. Mm. Those are Landry's words.
You guys, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not – when you guys come in here, you give a lot of, like, really, really good teases, but then I feel like I can't ask any follow-up questions.
No, you can
ask. Because you don't want to ruin it.
No, you can ask.
Well, I don't want to ruin the surprise. What does it involve?
Well, certain people in the Houston Texans organization being gutless.
Is it more than one person?
I would have to put a pause button on that.
Okay.
Right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big allegation there that they're gutless.
Let me ask you guys something off topic real quick.
What's up?
About J.J. Watt's recent tweet.
Yes.
Did you see it?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Oh, okay. We were prepping in the other room.
Yeah, yeah. So JJ,
he's not wrong.
JJ,
he is wrong.
He is absolutely not
the
wrong.
The donuts were not for him. They were for Buddy.
People. No. When someone asks you, what kind of donuts do you like? And you give them an answer, you can't come back without those donuts. Your taste buds get keyed up. I'll give you a good example.
You guys are so entitled.
No. Come not on. Entitled. This is human.
That's entitlement right there.
No, it's not. No. This is human condition.
The donuts are being brought for Buddy.
No.
You are a secondary supplemental aspect.
If they were being brought for Buddy, don't ask JJ what kind do you like. I'll give you a good example. All right? Just real quick, and I know we're up against it. I like the foot-long cone. I don't eat a lot of fast food, but I do like the foot-long cone at Sonic.
ELC. I made
one time I said, make sure you put mustard and relish on it. I got the foot-long cone, and it was delicious.
Uh-huh.
But I felt disappointed that I didn't get the mustard and the relish on it because they forgot. Your taste buds get keyed up.
You got upset because they bought you something that they did you a solid by buying you something, but they made a mistake and you were upset.
Yes, I did.
Entitlement.
Look, you're entitled. You're entitled. Lopez's earned.
Humble yourself. Humble yourself.
Okay. Wade Smith, thank you for filling in for Sean these last few days. Sean will be back on Monday.
It's always real, fellas.
And everybody love else that. Have an incredible weekend and enjoy your In the Loop with Landry and Locker. Landry and Locker and Lopez while we're at it. If you have a prosthesis, you can dab.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.